Good morning. This morning, Ken asked me to read from the book of Habakkuk, which is, a few chapters in from the end of the Old Testament. So while you're finding Habakkuk, chapter 3, I'll give you a little glimpse of the introduction that my Bible has on this book of the Bible. Habakkuk was likely a leader of worship in the temple, and we have this book, which is basically a dialogue where Habakkuk speaks the first chapter or two in my Bible is subtitled Habakkuk's Complaint, the Lord's Answer, Habakkuk's Second Complaint, and the Lord's Answer. To him, it probably looked like the bad guys were winning, and he was wondering why God didn't do something about it. So, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk has now complained twice, the Lord has answered him twice. And this part is entitled Habakkuk's Prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, from the holy place, from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come to the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments.
Well, good morning, everyone. Since this is my first message in the new year, I don't know if I wished you all a most blessed new year or not, but I am this morning. And we wonder, with all that's going on, what this new year holds for us. You know, I got something in the Sunday School Meditations mail toward the end of December from a lady over at Fairmount Home. I do not know her. I opened up the envelope. There was not a donation there, but what she wrote or printed on a piece of paper is what I intend to hit on this morning. Have your pencils ready and a piece of paper, because it is something that 10 things that all of us should be well aware of for this new year, or any year for that matter. Now, you probably wonder what's coming from the book of Habakkuk. You ever hear a message on it before? I see a few shaking their heads. Most of the prophets in the Old Testament would speak with urgency from the Lord. They say, "Thus saith the Lord." And they would say what the Lord says. This prophet is different. And Rebecca, thank you for reading. You must have done some background. This prophet is different. This prophet had complaints to God. And I would say, if we are honest, we all have complained to God about why things are the way they are. His first complaint was his own people, Israel. Now he tells the Lord, he said, "We are not doing well. We're violating your laws, your commands. We're taking advantage of people," and he just is adamant about things that he's talking to the Lord about that need to be cleaned up. I'm putting all this in my words, basically what he's saying. And Lord, what are you going to do about it? And the Lord comes back to him. He answers his first complaint. And he says, what I'm going to do about it is I'm going to send another nation to discipline your people. So then Habakkuk thinks about this. And then he says to the Lord, this is what is kind of made me chuckle. When he knows the nation that God has chosen to discipline Judah, then Judah looks pretty good in his eyes. And he says, he goes back to the Lord with his second complaint. How can you use this evil nation? They don't regard you any way, shape, or form. And they are very, very cruel. They just do as they please with the people they conquer. And he was not happy about this. And then the Lord answers him, and he says he will take care of them as well. Now, our Sunday school lessons have been about Daniel. And all of you who know your Bible history know that Daniel was one of the first captives taken by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the one that was sent to discipline Judah. And in today's lesson, as we should have had the whole period this morning to discuss Daniel's prayer and God's listening and hearing. Anyhow, God took care of Babylon as he promised Habakkuk that he would do. And by the time that Daniel was praying this prayer in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the ruling power is now Medo-Persia and not Babylon. But when we look at Habakkuk's complaints, there's a lot that corresponds with the day in which we live. I got this paper I got this yesterday from Back to the Bible, talking about their challenge for the year ahead. It says, this challenge begins with the reality that our world is in chaos. Millions of people live lives of hopeless desperation, looking for something to fill the emptiness and bring a sense of peace and hope. From broken lives, shattered families, and ruptured relationships to the stress and tensions that fill everyday life, people are crying out for answers. And the first thing that I want to mention here from what was shared by this lady is that the Bible will still have the answers. So if you want to write that down, the Bible will still have the answers. And he goes on to say, the reality is you and I have the answer, and it's found in the most powerful and transformative book the world has ever known, the Bible. The power to transform a life is, we are reminded from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. He goes on to discuss, they have this program for mobile phones called Go Tandem, and he gives illustrations of people in desperate need of a transformed life who got into the scripture through their mobile home or through their mobile phone. And so God is using today the technology that's available to get the Bible into the lives of many people. All of us, I would say, know someone who's in a desperate situation. The Bible has the answer and will always have the answer to the world's problems. For instance, I read shortly after the beginning of this new year that in this county alone, over 100 young people, I think it was around 160, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but way too many young people, it would say, lost their battle with addiction. Young people who have all their lives ahead of them, killed by addiction to drugs. A man just asked me the other day to pray for him and his wife. I know that some of you know them. I won't mention names, but come May, it'll be 3 years that they lost a daughter in a tragic accident. And the mother has not been able to pick up the pieces from that. And he said, Ken, just pray for us. They've been going to counseling. Doesn't seem to do much good. And so there's such a desperation out there in our world today. Look at our own country. Right now, the government's in a shutdown. If we expect the government to be our answer of the things that happen in life, In the job in which I work, the dairy situation across this country and across the world really is not good. I had to think, as Rebecca was reading, no cows in the stalls. There are barns that are sitting empty today because farmers can't get a milk market. And so there they sit. And the prices they are getting for their milk is not good because of all that is being taken off to fund the reality of too much milk. And so people are desperate to pay their bills. And some are doing okay and some are not. And so, and then a man said to me, one of my coworkers said to me the other day, we were in the lunchroom, just he and I. I think he attends Forest Hills Mennonite Church. And they are part of, I think they elected to stay with MCUSA. Now, I mentioned this to Devin this morning in class, and well, Don was there too. He says to me, "Ken, I have a difficult question for you." And I didn't know what was coming because he's a deep thinker, this man, a little younger than I am, I think, not much. He said, "I struggle with why Lancaster Conference had such a problem with the gay situation in the church and overlook the riches that are surrounding us in our churches, in our pews." Now, don't get me wrong, he said, "I'm not for homosexuality or that kind of lifestyle." But he said, "I guess the reason I brought this up this morning was the other day I heard what 95% of the per capita income is in the world." And he said, "You know what, Ken? I just drive a bag truck. But what I take home every other week makes me a rich man in light of the rest of the world." We know what God said about riches. And I didn't know how to answer him. And he said, "Well, think about it and we'll talk again sometime." So, yeah. Millions of people live lives of hopeless desperation, looking for something to fill the emptiness and bring a sense of peace and hope. And I'm sure most of us run into this kind of people every day. We may not always know what is going on in their lives. I think we need to be like Habakkuk was and say, "Lord, these are the things that I'm dealing with. What is your answer?" And God will come back. He will let us know somehow what his answer is. Most of it's in his word. So that was number one. The Bible will still have the answers. Number two, prayer will still work. We're talking about prayer this morning in Sunday school. I know some of you know my neighbor, Ken Kreider. Ken Kreider, Ken Redkay, and Ken Hershey and our spouses, we were good friends there at New Providence. The Kreiders also bought their feed from Huber, so I used to get in there every other week. And Ken Kreider is a very quiet man. But I would occasionally stop if ever I saw him. The last time I stopped was about, well, I shouldn't say the last time because I just stopped this week. But back up about 6 weeks, I saw him backing some equipment around in his shed. So I didn't talk to Ken for a while. So I went and talked to him, had a nice talk. And it was only, I don't know, 10 days after that, Ken and Grace were here at church one Sunday morning. The furnace wasn't working at New Providence, and he said to me, "Do you know Ken Kreider has cancer?" What? Ken Kreider? He was the kind of fella I thought would. His dad's in his 90s, tough old fella, and I just considered Ken just like him. I stopped in there on New Year's Day. He opened the door, left me in. He said, let's go out where we usually sit and talk, out at the kitchen table. All of a sudden, I started to cry. Ken says to me, Ken, why are you crying? I said, it's this cancer that just overwhelms me at times. I said, right now, let's pray. And Ruthie was busy there in the kitchen. She came and sat down. I prayed for them. I prayed for him. And this week, I stopped again. Prayed with him again. He said to me, Ken, you uplift my life when you walk in that door. Because we pray. The thing I told Jim Brubaker this morning, the thing that has amazed me is how quiet he always was, and he has been more talkative now since this cancer thing has hit than I could ever imagine. He talks about it. Prayer still works. Not always. We don't always get the answers we want. God knows what is best. We all know that we go through this world once, and barring the return of Christ, we will all die. But prayer still works in the lives of individuals. Number three, the Holy Spirit will still move. Last evening, after listening to Sunday school meditation, I was laying there on the couch and listening to spirituals that came on WDAC. And George Beverly Shea, no longer alive, but one of the great singers of all time. Sang the song, Someone's Knocking at Your Door. And I thought of the time when the Holy Spirit was knocking at my door and reminding me that I was a sinner and that I needed Christ. You've probably seen a picture already of Jesus knocking on the door. Jesus never opens the door. It has to be, if you ever notice, there's no latch on that door. It has to be opened from the inside. Someone knocking at your door. And so the Holy Spirit still moves, convicting of sin and bringing people to faith in Christ. Number four, God will still inhabit the praises of his people. And I looked up the word inhabit. I thought I knew what it meant. But the praises of God's people are inhabited. God inhabits those because he lives and dwells in the heart of that individual. I have a good story to relate regarding that. I think most of you know I enjoy sports. I enjoy playing, and I played about everything in the sports line. And so I was watching the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. I did not want Alabama to win because they have enough national championships. I think it's five. I think this one made it six. I'm not sure. Anyhow, During halftime, I fell asleep, but it was 13-0 at halftime. And when I got awake, it was now 20-7, Georgia. And a new quarterback was playing for Alabama. They had a hard time pronouncing this young man's name. They said about he was a freshman, a true freshman, 19 years old. Tua, T-U-A is his first name. And I don't know how to pronounce his second name, but he was from Hawaii. Excuse me. And I watched this kid, and he was unbelievable. He brought this team back. And in the closing seconds, he's left-handed, somehow uncorked the pass into the end zone for the tying touchdown. And they were talking about this man. Where's this young guy at all this time? Well, it went into overtime, and Georgia couldn't move the ball but kicked a field goal, so now it's 23-20, and Alabama got the ball. And overtime, they get it at the 25-yard line. And so on first down, this kid goes back to pass, and they chased him around. And I'm thinking, throw the ball out of bounds. But no, he didn't, and they swarmed him down 16 yards back of where he put the ball in play, which means it takes 26 yards to get a first down. And on the very next play, he cranks up that left arm, and that ball sails down through the field. The guy is running down the sideline. A defender not close to him. He looks back and sees the ball coming over his shoulder. He catches it on a dead run, crosses the goal line. Game over. And bedlam broke loose. So a lady reporter went first to the Alabama coach. Wanted to know his reaction, and he didn't know. I don't know what to say. He said, it's unbelievable. I'll have to think about it a long time. He didn't have much to say. Then she goes to this young quarterback, and she says to him, what do you have to say? You probably never dreamed of ever getting in this game, and now you came in, you're the star. I don't know how many of you heard what he said, but he said, first of all, and right up front, I want to give all praise and glory to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was kind of flabbergasted, didn't know what to say. But she said, yeah, that last pass, such a thing of beauty. The only thing I can say is what the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And again, she didn't know what to say. Interview over. You know, I thought about that, and then after reading this, God will still inhabit the praises of his people. As I thought back over that game and the way it transpired, it seems like of all the things that happened that night, God said, I'm going to get glory out of this. And I understand that his testimony hit the news, and all the people that I met talked about it. Did you hear that young fella's testimony last night? And it was unbelievable. Just an illustration of God inhabiting the praises of his people. He gave all praise and honor and glory to his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Might we all be like that and do that in our daily walk as we meet with people. Number 5, there will still be God-anointed preaching. I know I hear a lot of it when you know this man has been with the Lord, with his word, and it's Bible, and it's God anointed. There will still be singing of praise, the singing of praises. always blesses my heart to go over to Stumptown when that church is packed with people and sing these old familiar gospel songs that have meant so much to all of us growing up. The singing of praise. That first song we sang this morning, I remember a number of years ago, I used to take, Joanne was often working on weekends, I used to take a man from New Providence, a widower, Ivan Weaver. He and I became really good friends, and I would take him here and there. So we were over at Weaverland one Sunday evening for Mountain Anthems Choir, mixed choir. But there was a young couple, husband and wife, who sang a duet of Beulah Land. Guy had the richest tenor voice, and she the sweetest alto. We sat there, you could have heard a pin drop in that church. It was the most beautiful rendition of that song that I have ever heard. A land that we look forward to going someday, if everything is right with us in the Lord, and we sing his praises. Number 7, God will still pour out blessings upon his people. People scattered throughout this world. You read and you hear of unbelievable situations where God steps in and for one reason or another that is unexplainable, God moves and people are blessed and people are receiving the blessing and passing it on to others. Now that was number 7. Now we're going to get back down to the nitty-gritty. Number 8, there will always be room where? Someone want to fill in? At the cross. There will always be room at the cross. For those who are willing to confess their sins and ask forgiveness. Number 9, Jesus will still love. Jesus will never quit loving. And Jesus will still save the lost. That's number 10. It is amazing. It's always been amazing to me. Before and after of people who found their way to the cross, were redeemed, and moved out a different person. I guess the biggest illustration we would have in the Bible is the Apostle Paul, a man who was determined by all accounts that we read of him. He was going to do all he could to destroy this new way of thinking about Jesus, the Messiah. And he had letters, you know, to go up to Damascus and imprison people and kill people. And until he was determined, until the Lord struck him down with that brilliant light, he says to him, "What are you doing? It's hard for you to fight against me," is what I'm. He told the apostle, well, actually, it was Saul then, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." In other words, what he was saying, it is hard to derail what I am doing. And so the apostle Paul transformed from Saul to Paul, asked the Lord what he would have him do. And so we know The rest of the story is written in most of the New Testament. And God can use anybody after their experience at the cross to bring hope and peace and courage into the lives of shattered individuals. I'm sure all of you meet them every day. So if you can try to remember the predictions for 2018 and the predictions right on up till Christ comes back, that the Bible will still have the answers, prayer will still work, the Holy Spirit will still move, God will still inhabit the praises of his people, there will still be God-anointed preaching, there will still be singing of praise, God will still pour out blessings upon his people, there will still be room at the cross, Jesus will still love, and Jesus will still save the lost. Now we go back to Habakkuk, and after God answered his two complaints, then he writes the chapter that Rebecca read for us this morning. And when it was all said and done, Habakkuk was invaded with faith from what God had to tell him. We're looking at things here that are that we know about. Sometimes disaster hits fig trees. They won't blossom. There will be no fruit on the vines. Though the labor of the olive may fail, though the fields yield no food, that's usually not a problem around here, although we have hit some dry years. We expect a good crop. But he is saying, even though this may happen, the fields yield no food, no feed for the flocks, and they're cut off from the sheepfold. No food for the cows in the stalls. Boy, this is just where it's all at. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the feet of a deer. And he will make me walk on my high hills. That's a man now who has shed his depression, his grief about the way things were going. To have that confidence in God. I pray that as we go through this year, we will have that same confidence that God is in control over every situation that happens. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. There is much in it we don't understand, and yet what we do understand, apply it to our hearts. I pray for everyone here this morning, those who may be going through difficult times, we never know. You do. And I pray that you will give strength where strength is needed, grace where grace is needed. And Lord, may we be people of prayer, lifting each other up each day at your throne. Thank you that you never change, your word never changes, and will stand the test of time. We thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit, which admonishes us and keeps us on the straight and narrow. Forgive us the times we fail, and keep us ever watching and looking for that blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace and have a blessed week.